The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Gemara Ta'anit. Daf Chav Zayin. Today's daf is being studied Le'ilun Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden Amen. Today's daf is being studied Le'rfuah Shedimah Eliyahu Hayim Ben Sofia Shafia Inna Refa'ana Lo Betok Shar Chole Amo Yisrael Amen. We begin today's daf on Chav Zayin Amud Rishon, four lines from the top. Eluhen Ma'amadot Lefi She'ne'emar Sabit B'nei Yisrael. So the Mishnah talked about the Ma'amadot. Ma'amadot were the representatives that used to go to Yerushalayim, some of them, to be our representatives for the Korban Tamid. So the Mishnah's language was, these are the Ma'amadot because it says Savit B'nai Israel. Now what does that mean? These are the Ma'amadot because it says Savit B'nai Israel? Doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara asks, Mai Ka'amar. What does this mean to say? Look at the top Rashi. Mai Ka'amar de Kaba'e Mai Nihu Ma'amadot. Which means you introduce me Ma'amadot, then you quote me a pasuk at Korbani Lachmi Leishai. What does one thing have to do with the other? So the Gemara says, Haki Kamar, Eluhen Ma'amadot. This is the subject of the Ma'amadot. Uma Ta'am Tiknu Ma'amadot. And what's the reason why the Hakamim established Ma'amadot? Lefish Ne'emar Sabit B'nei Yisrael Ma'amarta Alehem Et Korbani Lachmi Leishai. The Torah says every day the Jewish people have to bring a korban, like the pasuk says, "Savet b'nei Yisrael." That all the Jewish people have to bring the korban. So the Gemara asks, "Ve'each korbanos shel adam karev, v'hu eno omed al gabav?" How is it possible that a person he is going to bring a korban and he's not going to be there? Which means when a person brings a korban, he has to be standing there. So how is it possible that you're going to tell me that Am Yisrael has to bring a daily korban every day, but they're not there in the Beit HaMikdash? Hitkinu nevi'im arishonim. So the early prophets, as we explained, David HaMelech and Shmuel HaNavi, 24 mishmarot. They established 24 mishmarot with 24 groups of Kohanim and Leviim. Al kol mishmar u'mishmar haya ma'amad b'Yerushalayim. On every mishmar and mishmar, there was a ma'amad. There were representatives that used to go to Yerushalayim. And who were these ma'amadot made from? Shel Kohanim, v'shel Leviim, v'shel Yisraelim. So again, we had representation from all the groups of Am Yisrael, even though we really didn't need from all the groups. It was enough that the Kohanim could represent us. But Hakamim made that Kohanim, Leviim, Yisraelim will go up to Yerushalayim to be our representatives. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braita. Eslim v'arba'a mishmarot, there were 24 mishmarot be'eres Yisrael, v'shtem esre biriho. Interesting, the Braita says there were 24 mishmarot in Eretz Yisrael proper, and 12 of them were in Yericho. Now we have to understand what this means. It sounds like over here that altogether there was 36 mishmarot. So the Gemara says, Shtem esre biyericho, well, there were 12 mishmarot in Yericho, nefishan lehu tuva. There's too much, because Mishnah said there's only 24 mishmarot. Now you tell me there's 24 in Eretz Yisrael and 12 in Yericho? Ela shtem esre mehen biyericho. Which means there was 12 of the mishmarot were stationed in Yericho. Now what was the purpose to have them stationed in Yericho? So the Gemara explains, Higiya azman ha-mishmar la'alot, when it was the time of the mishmar to go up to Yerushalayim, which means every week there was another mishmar that goes up to Yerushalayim to serve. Hatziya mishmar haya ole me'eretz Yisrael Yerushalayim. So half the mishmar would go up wherever they lived, whatever city they lived in Eretz Yisrael, they would go up to Yerushalayim. V'hatziya mishmar haya ole, according to the text we have, midiho, from yidiho. Now what was their purpose? Well, according to Rashi, actually it says haya ole lidiho, that half the mishmar would go to the city of Yericho. Now what are they doing in Yericho? Gemara, kedesh yisapeku maimu mazon la'achayim shebirushalayim. They would supply the food for their brothers that are in Yerushalayim, which means you have a whole group of Kohanim over. Who's going to cook for them? Who's going to feed them? So that is system. Half the mishmar would go work, and the other mishmar would go to Yericho, and they were preparing the food. And the Rishonim explained that they would do that for 3 days, and they would switch. The ones that were in Yerushalayim would go to Yericho, and they would prepare the food. And the ones that were in Yericho would go to Yerushalayim, and they would work. Let's read the Rashi. Kelomar, ketsadayu yudbet biricho, kishigi azman ha-mishmar la'alot l'Yerushalayim b'Shabbat, mitchalikim anshei ha-mishmar, chetzian hulchim l'Yerushalayim na'avoda, half of them went to Yerushalayim to serve, v'chetzian hulchim l'riho ha-simukha l'Yerushalayim, u'metakenim sham ma'im u'mazon ha-hahem. And they would prepare food for their brothers, and this is what they would do every single week. So this is the anyan of the 12 mishmarot that were in Yericho, which means really all the mishmarot were in Yerushalayim. It's just that when they would get to their time to serve, half the mishmar would be in Yerushalayim and half the mishmar would be in Yericho. And what was the purpose? In order for them to provide food and drink for their brothers. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shemuel. The Gemara says the name of Shemuel, Kohanim Ulviim VYisraelim Me'akibim Et HaKorban, which means for a Korban to be legitimately accepted, you need Kohanim, obviously to serve, to do the Korban, Leviim to sing the songs by the Korban, and you need Yisraelim to be the representatives. Look at Rashi, Me'akibim Et HaKorban, Im En Ma'amad Mekulan B'Yerushalayim. If you don't have representatives from each group in Yerushalayim, like it says, we just learned, Al Kol Mishmar Ma'amad B'Yerushalayim Shel Kohanim Leviim V'Yisraelim. And therefore, you need all of them to be there in the Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim for the Korban to be accepted. B'Matnita Tana, we have a bride that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said, the Bach is the word Omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Kohanim Ulviyin Ukhli Shir Ma'akimim Et HaKorban. He says, no, the main thing is you need is Kohanim, of course, Leviyim, and you need instruments. You need the instruments, and if you don't have the instruments, it's going to ma'akev the Korban. Now, the Mefarshim point out that he also agrees that you need Yisraelim. Also, the Mahlokit is over here, do you need the Leviyim just with their voices singing in the Korban, or do you need instruments? The Mahlokit is, what's the main singing of the Leviyim? Is it done with their mouth, or is it done with instruments? The Gemara explains, B'maika mepalgeh, mor sabar ikar shira bapeh. The first opinion says that the main singing is done in the mouth, and therefore they don't need instruments. If they don't have instruments, it's okay, as long as the Leviyim are there singing. Mor sabar ikar shira bekeli. And the other opinion says, no, the main shira is what? With the keli, with the instruments. Amar Rav Hamma bar Gurya. Amar Rav. Now we go to the history of how they established the Mishmarot. Moshe tiken lahem Yisrael Shemona Mishmarot. Originally there was only 8 Mishmarot. Arba'a me'Elazar, v'arba'a me'Itamar. We know there were 2 Kohanim, because Nadav Avihu died. They were the sons of Aaron, they died. So the sons of Aaron were only left 2 of them, Elazar and Itamar. So from Elazar they established 4 Mishmarot, and from Itamar they established 4 Mishmarot. So in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, altogether there was only 8 Mishmarot. Bas Shemuel, came Shemuel al-Navi, ve'amidam al-Sheshesre. So as the families grew, so he added more Mishmarot. So he doubled them. Exactly. So it started 4 and 4, now it became 8 and 8. Ba David ve'amidam al-Slim v'arba'a. Came David HaMelech and he made it 24, which means 12 and 12. Shnei Emar, and we have a pasuk that says, "Bishnat arba'im lemalchut David nidreshu veimasab veimsab behem giborei ha'chayil beyazer galed." This is the pasuk over here telling us that in the times of David HaMelech, they searched and they found Giborei Chayil, they found the strong ones in Yazir, which means it seems that the Kohanim multiplied, and therefore David HaMelech had to add to the Mishmarot. So according to this opinion, let's review again. In the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, 8 Mishmarot. Shemuel, it went up to 16. David HaMelech, it went to 24. Now we give another question. Metiveh, the Gemara has a question. Moshe tikem l'Yisrael Shemona Mishmarot. Arba'a me'Elazar v'arba'a me'Itamar. That's fine. Moshe Rabbeinu established 4 and 4. Elazar 4, Itamar 4. Ba'ad David u'Shmuel. But David and Shmuel together came along ve'amidam al-Islim v'arba'a. It sounds like both of them, David and Shlomo, they were responsible for upping it from 8 Mishmarot to 24. Not like the Gemara told us before, that Shmuel went to 16 and David went to 24. Uh-huh. Here it's Mashmah that Shmuel and David together brought it from 8 to 24. Shnei Emar, Hema, I quote you the Pasuk, Hema Yisad David uShmuel Aroeh beImunatam. This was the establishment of David and Shmuel Aroeh, Shmuel the prophet, in their belief, which means they were the ones that established the Mishmarot to 24. So the Gemara says, no. Hachi ka'amar, mi yisodo shel David u'Shmuel ha-Ramati he'imidum al 24, which means together from the establishments of both David and Shmuel at different times, which means Shmuel in his time moved it to 16, Shmuel and David in his time moved it to 24. So from both of them in different times brought it to the subtotal of 24.
Like the beginning.
Yeah, so that was exactly like we said originally. Moshe Rabbeinu started with 8, Shmuel went to 16, Shmuel, David and Melech went to 24, and this pasuk that says it was Shmuel and David means respectively, in their respective times, each one established it accordingly. Comes the Gemara and says, Tanya Idach, we have a Braita. Moshe Tikem Nehem Yisrael, Shesh Eshne Mishmarot. Oh, we have a Braita that argues on what we just learned above. Because this Braita says that Moshe Rabbeinu really established 16 Mishmarot. Shemona Mel Azar, ושמונה מאיתמר, 8 and 8. וכשרבו בני אלעזר ובני איתמר, so what happened? The children of Elazar became plentiful. It seems that the Elazar family became more plentiful than the Itamar family. And therefore, so what did they do? חלקום והעמידום על 24. So they divided the Mishmar up to make it to 24, which means they doubled Elazar's Mishmarot to 16. So you had 16 from Elazar and 8 from Itamar. So let's review that again. In Moshe Rabbeinu's time, you had 8 and 8. 8 from Elazar, 8 from Itamar. Elazar's family multiplied more than Itamar's family, so they doubled the Mishmarot of Elazar to 16. 8 to 16, so now you have 16 plus the 8 of Itamar is 24, so that's how you got the 24 Mishmarot according to this over here. Shnei Emar, and the Gemara proves this. So the Pasuk says, Vayimatzeu b'nei Elazar rabim l'rashi ha-gibarin ben b'nei Itamar. It was found that b'nei Elazar became multiple, they multiplied, implying that while originally they were the same. So Mashma from the Pasuk, Vayimatzeu was found. Mashma in the beginning, Elazar and Itamar were the same. 8 and 8. And then what does the pasuk say? Vayhalekun libnei Elazar rashim levet avot. So they divided the family of Elazar, shisha asar, to 16. Vilibnei Itamar levet avotam shemona. And to Itamar they kept it at 8. So therefore, according to this, it started off 8 and 8, and then Elazar doubled to 16. So you had 16 and 8. Ve'omed, the Gemara quotes another pasuk. Pasuk says, Bet av ehad ahuz le'Elazar, which means when it came to the family of Elazar, it was 1 for 1, which means they had 8, so they added 1 per whatever they had. So they added 8, so that got it to 16. Ve'ahuz ahuz le'Itamar. But whatever percentage or whatever they had, they kept, which is Itamar stayed the same. Ahuz ahuz, whatever that, it had 8 families originally, it stayed at 8 families. Whereas when it comes to Elazar, it was ehad ahuz, 1 for every 1. So therefore, they went from 8 to 16. So the Gemara seems to quote 2 pesukim to prove to us that the system was 8 and 8, then Elazar jumped to 16, and Itamar remained at 8. So the Gemara asks, Mai ve'omer, what do you need the second pasuk for? Which is the second pasuk tells me similar the same thing that the first pasuk says. So the Gemara, v'chi tema, because maybe you'll tell me like this, ki heki d'nefishi b'nei Elazar, hachi namen nefishi b'nei Itamar, which Shimona, which means maybe I'll tell you just like Elazar multiplied, maybe I'll tell you Itamar also multiplied. Which means, maybe I'll tell you Me'ikara Arba. Which means, I would have thought like this. Like the Gemara says, Me'ikara Arba Ahavu. I might have thought that really Elazar started with 4 and Itamar started with 4. And I'll tell you why. That they multiplied. And I'll tell you, just like Elazar multiplied, Itamar also multiplied. And therefore they went to 8 each. Right. And then Elazar multiplied more, and he went to 16, and they stayed at 8. Which means, if I didn't have the second pasuk, I would have thought that the way the families multiplied was originally they both started at 4, and they both multiplied.
And then it stopped.
And they moved to 8. That's why the Gemara says, Tashema, Bet av ehad ahuz le'Elazar ve'ahuz ahuz le'Itamar, which means Itamar was always ahuz ahuz. It remained what it was. Itamar never changed.
Right.
The second pasuk teaches me that whatever Itamar was from the beginning, it always was from the beginning. Which means just like they started 8, they always remained 8. Without that last pasuk, I might have thought, no, maybe they started 4 and they multiplied also to 8. Kamashma, no. Itamar was achuz, that was what they were from the beginning. They remained, It was only Elazar that multiplied. They went from 8 to 16. But what do you see from this opinion? You see that originally Moshe Rabbeinu established 8 mishmarot. You see he established 16 mishmarot. You see he established 8 and 8. And then after Elazar multiplied, Shemuel and David added 8 more to Elazar, to 16 to 8. So that's a question on the opinion that says that Moshe Rabbeinu only established 8 mishmarot. Right. So the Gemara says, Tiyufta the Rav Hama Bar Guria. It's a question against Rav Hama Bar Guria, because he was the rabbi that said that originally Moshe Rabbeinu only established 8 mishmarot, and according to this he established 16. Amar lekar Rav Hama Bar Guria, Tanai. He says, what do you want from me? It's a machloket Tanaim. Ve'ana da'amni ki hay Tana da'amar Shemona. I'm going according to the Tana that says 8. So it comes out we have a fantastic machloket between the Tanaim over here. What was the original establishment of the mishmarot? Did they start off with Moshe Rabbeinu establishing 8 mishmarot, like Rav Hama Bar Guria said, 4 from Elazar, 4 from Itamar, and then Shemuel and Navi came along and moved it up to 16, and then David HaMelech moved it up to 24? Or do you say no, according to the Tana that we just learned, Moshe Rabbeinu really started off with 16, 8 and 8, and it was the Elazar family that multiplied only, and therefore they doubled them to 16, and they kept Elazar at
8.
And the Gemara continues, Tanu Rabbanan, Arba'a Mishmarot Alu Min HaGola, which means when the Jewish people went to Bavel, and now Ezra Sofer was going to go build the second Beit HaMikdash, so the Jews moved from Bavel back to Eretz Yisrael. However, as we know in the history, not all the Jews wanted to move back to Eretz Yisrael. A lot of the Jews remained in Bavel. So it says, out of the 24 Mishmarot, only 4 families moved back to Eretz Yisrael. And the Mishnah Gemara tells us who they were. Ve'eluhin, Yedaya, that's one family. Harim, that's the second family. Pashur, that's the third family. Ve'imar. So at that point, we only have 4 families. We need 24 Mishmarot. Amdu Nevi'im Shebineihem. So the prophets that were amongst them, what did they do? Halkum, Ve'halkum. They divided up the 4 Mishmarot, and they divided each one into 6 mishmarot. So therefore, you ended up with 24. Ve'amidum al 24. How did they do that? They wrote, let's say, 24 names, and they put it in a lottery. And the Gemara says, bilalum. They mixed all the names in the lottery. Untanum bekalpi. Right? They put it in the box. That's the box of the lottery. By Yedaya. Yedaya was the first family. Ve'natal helko. So he picked one lottery for himself, ve'chelik chaverav shesh, plus another 5, because each family now has to divide itself into 6. Ba'charim ve'natal chelko ve'chelik chaverav shesh. Harim took his lot plus another 5. He ends up with 6. Ve'chen pashur ve'chen imam. So now you made 24 mishmarot out of the 4 families. But now the rabbis made another takana. Ve'chen itnu nevi'im shebeneihem. The prophets that were amongst them made the following takana. Sha'afilu Yehoyariv Rosh Mishmeret Ole Lo Yidahe Yidayam Mekomo. Which means, now even if, let's say, the family of Yehoyariv, Yehoyariv was the first family of the cycle of the Mishmarot. They happened to stay in Bavel. They didn't want to come back. So the rabbis punished them. They penalized them. They said, you know what? Now if you come back, we're not putting you back in your original position. We're not putting you back in the beginning of the rotation. On the contrary, the Gemara says, they're not going to push Yedaya Mimikwa. Ela Yedaya Ikar. Yedaya now becomes the first Mishmar of the rotation. The Yehoyariv Tafelo. Which means, after all the Mishmarot of Yedaya finish, then we'll put Yehoyariv. Now as she points out, that they would have to make Yedaya's family smaller at that point, because now Yehoyariv needs a mishmar. So they would, instead of making Yedaya 6 families, they would turn them into 5 families, and one family they would give it to Yehoyariv. So therefore, after the 5 families of Yedaya go, after the 5 families of Yedaya, then Yehoyariv family would go. So you still ended up with the same amount of Mishmarot, meaning you still ended up with 24 Mishmarot, but the point is they punished Yehoyariv. But you don't think when Yehoyariv came back, they said, okay, you're back, Bechavod, we'll give you your original spot. No, you didn't come back from Bavel, So your Dayan now becomes the leader of the Mishmarot, and your Yariv is only secondary to him. Comes the Gemara and says, V'Yisrael shebe'oto mishmar mitkanesin be'areim v'korim b'ma'aseh bereshit. We learned in yesterday's Mishnah that the people that were part of the Ma'amadot, they would stay in their cities, in the synagogues, and they would have special prayers to pray for their brothers that the Qurban is accepted. And in those prayers, they would read Sefer Torah. Now, what Sefer Torah did they read? We said they read Parashat Bereshit. Every day they read another perek, another couple of pesukim for Parashat Bereshit. So the Gemara says, Minah Nemileh. How do you know that? Which is, how do you know? What's the connection between the Ma'amadot reading Parashat Bereshit? Now, I would think maybe they should read something to do with the Korbanot. Why are they reading Parashat Bereshit? Amar bi'akob alaha amar v'aseh. Il maleh ma'amadot. So the Gemara says, if it wasn't for the fact that there's Korbanot in the world, which means that the Bet HaMikdash is around, that we're able to bring Korbanot, lo nitkayemu shamayim va'aretz. The world would not exist. Because as a result of the Korbanot, we get Kaparat fa'avonot. As a result of the Kaparat, the world exists. If we didn't have Kaparat, there'd be no world. Shnei Emar, Vayomer Hashem Elohim. This is by Avraham Abinu, by Brit Ben Abetarim, when God was talking to him. So Avraham tells Borei Olam, Vayomer Hashem Elohim, Bama Eda Ki Irashena. He tells Borei Olam, how am I going to know that I'm going to inherit the land? Amar Avraham. So this is the real message that Abraham was asking. Rebono shel olam, shema Yisrael chotim lefanecha. How do I know that it's going to remain my land for my children? Maybe the Jewish people are going to sin in front of you. Ata oseh lehem kedor mabul uchdor palaga. And maybe you're going to destroy them, just like you destroyed the generation of the flood and the generation of the palaga. Amar le. So what did Borei Olam answer him? Lav. No, it's not so. Amar lefanav. So Abraham says, Rebono shel olam, hodi'eni b'ma irashena, which means,
what are they going to do wrong?
Tell me exactly what I should tell them, how they should get kapara. The Jewish people are going to sin, and therefore I have to know. Give me the secret how they can protect themselves. Amar le, so Kadosh Baruch Hu says, kehali egla mishuleshet ve'ez mishuleshet, which means tell them to bring for me korbanot, an egel and an ez. Amar lefanav. So Abraham Abinu tells Kadosh Baruch Hu, Rebono shel olam, Tinah bizman shebet hamikdash kayam. That's good when there's a Bet HaMikdash. However, bizman she'en Bet HaMikdash kayam matei alehem. But what are they going to do when there's no Bet HaMikdash? Amar lo, kevar tikanti lahem seder korbanot. Already I established for them the seder of the korbanot, which means as it's written in the Torah, bizman shekorin bahen lefanai, when they're going to read the korbanot in front of me, ma'aleh ani alehem, which means at the time where there's no Bet HaMikdash, the Gemara says, Borei Olam says what? Borei Olam says, read for me the Parashah of the Korbanot, and the reading of the Parashah of the Korbanot will be considered as if they brought the Korbanot. But now we answer our original question. Our original question is, why did Anshe Ma'amad read Parashat Bereshit? Because we're saying, since the whole world is dependent on the Korbanot, so therefore we read Ma'aseh Bereshit to show it that the world exists because of the Korbanot. That's why they pray for the Korban to be accepted. And the Gemara continues. Hello, Rabbana, we have a Braita. Anshe Mishmar, the people of the Mishmar, mean that when Yerushalayim, Hayu mitpalelim al korban achehem sheyitkabel beratzon, they would pray that their brother's korban would be accepted. Anshe Ma'amad, those again were the representatives of Bnei Yisrael, mitkanesim lebet hakneset, they would go to the synagogue in their cities, wherever they were, v'yoshvim arba ta'aniyot. Now we're learning a hiddush, that the Anshe Ma'amad would actually fast 4 days during the week. Bashini b'Shabbat, Bashilishi, Barabi'i u'Bahamishi. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And now the Gemara is going to explain that on each day they fasted for a certain situation. Bashini, on Monday they fasted, Al Yor de Hayam. And all those that are traveling on the seas, they should come back and be protected, which means they should be safe. Why? Because on Yom Sheni, what do we read in Parashat Bereshit? Yehi rakia betoch hamayim. Because over there it talks about the sky that God placed above the waters. So therefore, since we're mentioning about the waters on Monday in the reading of the Sefer Torah, so that's the day they would fast, that all those that are traveling by sea should be protected. Bashilishi on Tuesday, Al-Holche Mitbariot. For all those that are traveling through the desert, that they should get home safe, they should be protected. Because on that day, the Pasuk says, V'tira'e hayabasha. Which means that the ground should become visible, which means it should be a dry land that people should be able to cross it without getting damaged. So that's on Tuesday. But on Wednesday, they would fast al-askira. Askira is a type of disease that's like suffocation or asthma, where the children ben minan get it and they can't breathe. Shelot tepol al-latinokot. Why? Because the reading of the Torah on that day was the discussion that God placed the sun and the moon and the stars in the skies. And the way the Torah says that is Yehi Me'orot. Now Me'orot are the luminaries. However, in the Torah, the word Me'orot is written without a Vav. And Bar Minan, it can be read Me'erat. Me'erat is a curse. So therefore, on that day was created this holy called Askira, that Bar Minan can damage the children. So the Anshei Mahamad would fast on Wednesday in order that it be a Zechut, that no children should die from Askira. Bahamishi on Thursday, Al-Ubarot U-Minikot, they would pray for the success of the pregnant ladies and the nursing ladies. Ubarot Shelo Yapilu, the pregnant ladies that should not have Chas V'Shalom a miscarriage. Minikot Sheinikut Bineim, and the nursing ones that they should have milk in order they should be able to nurse their children. Since on that day the reading of the Torah is Yishritzu Amayim Sheritz, that the water should be multiple, there should be multiple fish that come out of the water. So that's the day we talk about the beracha of the multiplication of the fish and the creatures of the water. So therefore we're praying also for the creatures of the human beings, that no lady should miscarriage, and the ones that gave birth should be able to nurse their children. Now on Friday they would not fast, because Kabod Shabbat, we don't want them to go into Shabbat hungry. So there was no fast on Friday. Kal v'chomer b'Shabbat atzma. All the more so on Shabbat itself, there was no ta'anit. So God comes to Gemara and has a question. That's the Gemara's next question. Be'ehad b'Shabbat my ta'amalo. How come they don't fast on Sunday? So we have a few answers. Amar Rabbi Yohanan mipnei ha-notzrim. Because the Goyim, they have a holiday on Sunday. And therefore, if we would fast on Sunday, it would look as if we're making belittling their holiday. So we're saying on their holiday we're fasting. So therefore we don't want the Goyim to bother us. So therefore they didn't make a fast on Sunday in order that we don't come to Sakana from the Goyim. Second answer. Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmani Amar, Mepeneshu Shilishi Liyitzira. Sunday is the third day from creation. Which means when was the world created? Well, when was Adam created? Adam was created on Friday. So therefore, Sunday is the third day from Adam's creation. And therefore, on Sunday, we know the third day after an operation, for example, the patient is always suffering the most. So the same thing. After the creation of Adam, on Sundays usually, people are usually the weakest. And therefore, we do not want to make a fast on Sunday because of the weakened state of the people. Rish Lakish amar, mipene neshama yetera. Which means, we know on Shabbat, we get an extra neshama. And on Motzei Shabbat, God takes away that neshama yetera. And when the neshama yetera gets taken away, the human becomes weakened. And therefore on Sunday, people are generally weakened. The Amar Rish Lakish, neshama yetera nitna bo be'adam be'erev Shabbat. That God gives a neshama yetera, an extra neshama, to the Jewish people on Erev Shabbat. B'motzei Shabbat notlim otam imenu. And on Motzei Shabbat, they take it away from him. Shnei Emar, like the Pasuk says, Shabbat v'in nafash. Now how do we learn this Pasuk? Kivan she Shabbat. When a person keeps the Shabbat, then v'in nafash. You know what v'in nafash stands for? V'ay avda nefesh. Woe to the fact that we lose our soul. Vai yinafash, vai nefesh. Woe to the soul that we lose. So therefore on Sunday the Gemara is saying generally people are weaker. And therefore for the three reasons that we just mentioned above, either because it's a Goy holiday, or because it's the third day from the creation where we're weak, or because the Neshama Yetera is taken away, so they do not start these fasts on Sunday. And the Gemara continues, Bayom Arishon Bereshit V'Hirakia. On the first day, meaning on Monday, they would read Bereshit and V'Hirakia. And we learned yesterday that they would send up three Olim, Kohen, Levi, and Yisrael, they would send up for the reading of the Ma'amadot. So the Gemara says, Tana, we have a Braita, Bereshit Mishnayim. The Perasha Bereshit, which is five Pesukim, they would send up two people, Kohen and Levi, Yirakiya Be'ehad. And Yirakiya, they would give it to one Ole. So the Gemara says, Bishlama Yirakiya Be'ehad. I understand how you can give Yehidakiyah, that parasha, to one person, Tlata Pesukehavu, because there's three Pesukim in that parasha. And we know the minimum amount of Pesukim that a person must read when he goes up to the Sefer Torah is three. Ela Bereshit Bishnayim, but how could you read the parasha Bereshit with two Olim? Hamisha Pesukim Havyan. It's only five Pesukim. And we learned with Zaratanya. Vetanya, we learned in the Braita, Hakore Batorah Al Yifchot Mishlosha Pesukim. So we have a big question over here. How can you split five Pesukim into two? So we have a great machloket over here, famous machlok between Rav and Shmuel. Rav Amar Doleg, Ushmuel Amar Posek. Let's discuss this machloket. Rav says Doleg, meaning you repeat. Meaning the first Aliyah you read 1, 2, 3. And then the second Aliyah, you read 3, 4, 5. So you're repeating the third Pasuk. That's called Doleg. That's what he says to do. Shmuel says no. He doesn't go for this Doleg business, and we'll see why. He says you're Posek. You read Pasuk 1, Pasuk 2, and half of Pasuk 3. And then you start from the second half of Pasuk 3, and then 4 and 5. That's called Posek. So again, we have a fantastic Mahloket. Rav says, in the case we have 5 Pasukim, you're Doleg. You repeat Pasuk number 3, and Shmuel says you are Posek. So the Gemara asks, V'Rav Amar Doleg, Rav says to be Doleg, to repeat, My Tamalo Amar Posek. Hakim doesn't agree with Shmuel, Hakim didn't just say be Posek. Kasabar Kol Pesukat Lo Paska Moshe, Anan Lo Paskinanle. Because he holds any Pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu did not make, we cannot make our own Pesukim. So you cannot start taking a Pasuk and split it up into two. Any pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu did not posek, you cannot go make an extra pasuk like that. So therefore he says you cannot be posek. Ushmuel amar posek. So Shmuel said, no, you are posek. And we'll see in a second why he says you don't be doleg. But he says to be posek, meaning read 2.5 and 2.5. So the Gemara says, me paskinan? Are you allowed to do that? Ve'amar Rabbi Hanina Kara. Rabbi Hanina, the teacher of Mikra. Which means Rabbi Hanina, he was an expert reader. And he used to be the one that used to teach the children how to read. So they used to call him Rav Harina Kara. And he said the following, Sa'ar Gadol Hayali. He said, I had a lot of trouble trying to get a heter, a leniency, Etzel Rabbi Hanina HaGadol. What kind of leniency did he want? He was teaching the children. And it was very hard for the children to repeat an entire pasuk. They can't remember a whole pasuk by heart. So he wanted to split the pasukim in half. So he wanted to get a heter from the rabbi. Is he allowed to split the pasuk in half when he's teaching the children? And I got the heter only specifically for children who utlamed asuin, only because they're learning. And it's hard for them to say the whole entire pasuk. Implying what? That the only heter for splitting pasukim is for the children. But when you go up to the Sefer Torah, we don't let you do this over here. Which is, it was even hard to get a heter for the children to split the Pesukim up. How could Shmuel come along and say, you're going to be able to do it now when you go up to the Sefer Torah? So the Gemara answers, Ushmuel, hatam ta'ama ma'ay mishum de lo efshar. Hakaname lo efshar. Okay, what was the reason why he got the heter? Because he had no options. When it comes to the children, you have no options but to split the pasuk. So to over here, you have no options. When you have five pasukim, what do you want to do? You have to do 2.5 and 2.5. So for the same reason, the rabbi was matir by the children, he'll be matir also by the Sefer Torah. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Ushmuel amar posek, my tama lo amar doleg. How come Shmuel doesn't hold doleg? Which means, why don't you just, you have an option. Why don't you read 1, 2, 3, and 3, 4, 5? Gezerah mishum anichnasim. The gezerah mishum hayotzim. So he makes a gezerah like this. The first gezerah is mishum anichnasim. What's going to happen if a person comes in late? He comes in after Aliyat Kohen. Now he sees the Levi reading 3, 4, 5. He's going to think that the Kohen only read 2 Pesukim. And therefore what's going to happen? He's going to come into his Minyan one day, and he's going to say, I was in a Minyan, they only read 2 Pesukim. He's going to make a mistake. Or the opposite. Gezerah Mishubay Yotzim. Let's say the first Aliyah, they read 1, 2, 3. Alright? Now, the guy leaves. What is he going to think? He's going to say that what? That the Levi only gets 2 Pesukim. So he's going to make a mistake as well. So therefore, in order not to make that mistake of Gezerah Mishumay Yotzim and Nechnasim, he says, do 2.5 and 2.5. Correct. So that's the reason why Shmuel does not say Doleg, because it's a Gezerah Mishumay Nechnasim and a Yotzim. Comes the Gemara and says, Metive, we have a question. Parashah Shot Shisha Pesukim. Let's say all year long. You have a parasha, 6 pesukim. Korin ota b'shnayim. Beautiful. You read it with 2 olim, meaning 3 each. V'shel hamisha. If you have a parasha, 5 pesukim, the Gemara says, b'yachid. You only give it to one. Gemara says, v'im harishon kore shlosha, v'sheni kore shnayim, b'parasha, v'ehad m'parasha acheret. Which means like this. Vishil Hamisha, meaning again, when you have a parasha of Hamisha, of 5 Pesukim, I'm meaning again the Gemara, Harishon Kore Shlosha, the first one will read 3 Pesukim, Vashini Kore Shnai Mi Parasha Zu, Vahad Mi Parasha Ahiret. The second guy goes, reads the remaining 2 Pesukim, and let him continue reading 1 Pesuk to the next parasha. So he'll get also 3 Pesukim. V'yesh omrim, and some say no, shilosha. Some say no, the second guy, let him read the 2 remaining pesukim, but he has to read 3 of the next parasha. Lefi she'en matkalim parasha pachot mishlosha pesukim. Because we have a rule, once you start a parasha, you have to read a minimum of 3 pesukim. But what do you see from over here? That there's no option just to repeat or being posek. When you have a parasha of 5 pesukim, what's the options? Read 3, then 2 and 1, meaning further, or 2 and 3. So the Gemara asks, Leman damar doleg lidlog, ulman damar posek lifsok. Which is according to Rav and Shmuel, why do you have to say, when you have 5 pesukim, you read 3 and then 2 and 1, or 3 and 2 and 3? Why do you have to say that? Just say, when you have a parasha of 5 pesukim, either be doleg, read 1, 2, 3, 3, 4, 5, or be posek, 2.5, 2.5. How come the Braita doesn't give that option over here? So the Gemara says, Shaniyatam the Itler of Ha, which is here we're talking all year long. All year long, you're not limited on how much you're allowed to read. You can read as much as you want. So therefore, I'd rather not be Doleg if I don't have to be Doleg, and I'd rather not be Posek if I don't have to be Posek. Now if I have more Pesukim at my disposal, which means if I can continue reading more in the Parasha, of course, continue reading. However, we're talking about on the Ma'amadot where you're only able to read a certain amount of Pesukim. You're not allowed to read more than those Pesukim. Like the Mishnah told us, on the first day you read this, on the second day you read that. So you have no choice but to be Doleg or be Posek, because I only can read those 5 Pesukim. So I have to make the best out of the 5 Pesukim to get 2 Aliyot. However, all year long, you're not limited how much you can read. Read a little more, go into the next parasha. So therefore, all year long, if you have 5 Pesukim, what do we say to do? Read 3, and then next Aliyah, 2 from the end of that parasha, and then 1 to the next one, or 3 to the next one, because you have the luxury to read more. However, in our case of the Ma'amadot, you didn't have that luxury. Why? Because you're only allowed to read what the Hakamim told you to read. You can't read more. So therefore, you have the options either according to Rav to be Doleg or Shmuel to be Posek. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen.